The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Hello, this is Dane Wigginton with Geoengineering Watch Radio's Global Alert News, 1 hour update for September 17th, 2016. The show is broadcast again on KQMS throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 99.3 FM, and 105.7 FM. Those who want recordings of the show can find it in the archives for KQMS and also at geoengineeringwatch.org under the radio section. Want to announce, got a lot of headlines to cover again. There's so much happening globally, one can't keep up. All you can do is try to hit the most important stories of all as the converging catastrophes continue to accelerate on so many fronts. Want to announce at the Reading Library on Saturday, October 1st, from 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m., a film titled Silent Epidemic, The Untold Story About Vaccinations will be shown for free. Again, starting at 3:30 Saturday, October 1st at the Reading Library. This is an extremely powerful film. For those who have not yet seen the evidence that's available in the vaccinations proving conclusively that they are causing great harm. And again, whatever potential vaccination might have to do good, there is much more to the story than any of us have been told by any mainstream media source. And ask yourself, if you're simply going along with what the, quote, experts in the corporate media say, ask yourself if it could possibly be good for your child to inject thimerosal, toxic element with heavy metals in it that's a preservative in vaccinations, containing mercury and aluminum. Ask yourself if injecting toxic heavy metals into the veins of your children could possibly do anything but harm overall. Come see the film, decide for yourself. Again, Saturday, October 1st, 3:30 p.m. Now, about this subject, again, a lot of headlines to get to, but I want to go over something that is so prevalent in our society right now. It's truly Orwellian, this conspiracy theory rant. It's the knee-jerk response of so many people. And again, before getting to a long list of headlines, let's consider the bottom line on those that don't want to face the truth, those who are being perhaps paid to hide or obscure or otherwise marginalize the truth. Who are these people that, again, they have a knee-jerk, quote, conspiracy theorist term as their standard response to any attempt by others to share an unpleasant truth? And on that note, let's remember, a reminder, the recent headlines by Northern California's Record Searchlight so-called newspaper that had a headline of, quote, "It's just a silly conspiracy theory," in reference to the dire and factually verifiable climate engineering issue. They, of course, didn't use any of these science terms in their factless conspiracy theory hit piece. They didn't use climate engineering, geoengineering, solar radiation management, terms that even the head of the CIA just used while speaking in front of the Council on Foreign Relations, terms that Obama's top science advisor uses. Every science institution around the planet is discussing geoengineering and solar radiation management, but our local so-called newspaper is just one of many sources of disinformation at this point. We should all realize that. But back to the point, who are these people? These people who throw out the conspiracy theory term without ever looking at any data. How should you respond to their resistance and their animosity to verifiable facts that they don't want to hear, and whatever their primary driving motive, whether it's fear of reality or fear of losing their paychecks and pensions, in either case, in regard to individuals that refuse to look at facts or to do any investigation whatsoever, in lieu of just ranting out the conspiracy theory mantra, the program mantra, what are you dealing with in such cases? And here's what it is. You're dealing with cowardice in one form or another. This is the bottom line. And those who have the courage to try to actually investigate and share the truth, You should look yourself in the mirror and know that you're the one with the courage to face the resistance from those who don't want the truth. And you should deliver a message to such people who don't want to know, and then walk away. And know this, when you walk away from a person that shows you resistance because they don't want the truth, they don't want to hear it, and they lash out angrily, and I'll get to report about such people, a science report in a moment, but know that you've delivered the message and that those people will be forced to wake up and face the full impact of reality very soon as circumstances unfold. Know that. Know that their denial will not hold up much longer. So deliver the message and walk away. And about that science study on conspiracy theorists, and I've gone over this once in a show perhaps a year ago briefly, but I want to go into it in slightly more detail now. And here's the title of the article, Scientific Study Reveals Conspiracy Theorists the Most Sane of All. From the report, researchers, psychologists and social scientists in the U.S. and the United Kingdom say data indicates that contrary to those mainstream media stereotypes, quote, conspiracy theorists appear to be the more sane group of those than those who accept official versions of controversial and contested events, the official versions, those who parrot the official mantra to make sure that everyone knows they're a dedicated member of the herd and they don't question anything. How could such people be considered sane? The report continues. The research showed that people who favored the official account, for example, of 9/11, were generally hostile, trying to defend or shield themselves from the fear they feel. Continuing from the report, perhaps becoming frustrated that their alleged mainstream viewpoints are no longer considered as such by the majority, those who are anti-conspiracy commentators often showed anger. Another excerpt from the report. The research showed that people who favored the official account, for example, of 9/11, were generally more hostile when trying to persuade their rivals, said the study. Another excerpt from the report. Also, it seems that those who do not believe in conspiracies were not just hostile, but fanatical, attached to their own conspiracy theories. Because let's stop right there for a moment. What was the official version of 9/11? It was a textbook conspiracy theory, was it not? But because it's the official conspiracy theory, no one calls it a conspiracy theory. Since we just passed 9/11 and we had to watch all this theater that happens when the core cause of 9/11 has yet to be acknowledged or faced by the American population. Yes, that day and that event and those ceremonies are very disturbing to anyone who has done any investigation and understands the real truth. Continuing from the report, the researchers said that according to the anti-conspiracy holders, their own theory of 9/11, again, which is a conspiracy by itself, one which says 19 Muslims, none of whom could fly commercial airlines with any proficiency, pulled off an amazing surprise attack under the direction of a man on dialysis who was living somewhere in a cave in Afghanistan. Wow, that's quite a reach for that theory, isn't it? But it's the official story, so therefore it's not a conspiracy theory for those who really don't want to face the truth. This is all from this psychoanalyst's report. Everything I'm reading is from the report, by the way. Final sentence from that report. The study further noted that essentially those who use the term as an insult are doing so as the result of a well-documented, undisputed, and historically accurate conspiracy by the CIA to cover up the JFK assassination. Now, so we're tracing it right back to the source of where did this programming come from? It came from the CIA to cover up the John Kennedy assassination. It's a historical fact. And for those who aren't afraid of the truth, you'll look this up. I don't want anybody to believe me. In fact, here's a headline on that note. Here's the headline. In 1967, the CIA created the label, quote, conspiracy theorist to attack anyone who challenges the official narrative. There's the source. And how many people do all of us know who are unimaginably programmed from that same effort from so long ago, repeating the official narrative like parrots without ever bothering to look at the facts because the facts are simply uncomfortable to them. Excerpt from this headline on the CIA conspiracy theorist programming that was released in 1967. Specifically, in April 1967, the CIA wrote a dispatch which coined the term, quote, conspiracy theories, and recommended methods for discrediting such theories. The dispatch was marked PSYCH, short for Psychological Operation or Disinformation, and CS for the CIA's Clandestine Services Unit. That's where that term came from, and how many people parrot it today? With no clue where it came from, with no clue how they're behaving and what it's a response to. It's an attempt to, again, identify themselves with the herd and to avoid truths they don't want to face. So, a little more follow-up on the 9/11 issue, that just a study that was just released last Sunday on September 11th. And this was published in the European Journal of Physics News. Here's a science study, and here's the title of the science study: On the Physics of High-Rise Building Collapses. And what is the conclusion of this study, which anyone can look up? Not asking you to believe me. I'm asking you to investigate the truth. What is the conclusion of the study? That 9/11 buildings, not just the two towers, so many people don't know there was a third building that collapsed. Why don't they know? Because the corporate media and those who control the flow of information don't want the public to know there was a third building that never got hit by anything that collapsed in free fall speed of 7 seconds. So what's the conclusion of this new science study published in the Journal of European Physics? That the 9/11 buildings were brought down by controlled demolitions, period. Period. So that's how bad our situation is, that we had an inside job of 9/11, and people ask, I hear this so often, it's the same with climate engineering or other issues, they ask, why would they do this? And people ask that because they've never bothered to stop and think, why would they demo the 9/11 buildings? Because that was the license by which the military-industrial complex was fully unleashed to do what they do best, create war, conflict, and weapons sales. It's not hard to figure this out. It's not hard to connect the dots if you're simply willing to face the facts, period. Now, if we look at the 9/11 issue, I want to add in something that I just got from a federal EPA whistleblower that I communicate with, and he's in the process of being fired right now. I've mentioned this individual in previous shows. He just sent me a letter. This relates to 9/11 also, by the way. Here's the start of his letter. Dane, here is more on the politically embattled and compromised EPA. This relates to 9/11. Relates to the first responders. Now ask yourself, if this was really what we were told it was, and these buildings catastrophically failed, the Twin Towers that were designed to take multiple airline hits from aircraft larger than the ones that hit them, and they just collapsed, why would there be such a rush by our government to clean that site up at the cost of irreparably contaminating the first responders? So back to this EPA whistleblower who wrote me a letter, and here's the letter, and this is from PEER, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, about EPA and the fact that Christine Whitman sent the first responders in knowing that site was unimaginably toxic, and now over 1,000 of those first responders are dead and countless more are sick. So here's from the report sent by this EPA whistleblower. After the horrific World Trade Center implosion on September 11, 2001, EPA Administrator Christy Whitman assured a worried nation and terrified residents that the airborne hazardous substances on site were, quote, below background levels and no worse than, quote, a typical smoggy day. She could have not been more wrong in assuring that the air is safe to breathe. Now, 15 years later, and after more than 1,100 additional ground zero deaths, Whitman is apologizing. She said, quote, whatever we got wrong, we should acknowledge and people should be helped. What a pathetic. That's an apology. Continuing from this short report, absent from her apology and concession that she still, quote, feels awful, was an indication of what she, or more importantly, her former agency, the EPA, would or should be doing differently. In fact, at the time, Whitman and the EPA knew, this is from the report, knew far more was wrong than they disclosed to the public. Of course they knew. Final sentence. Today, however, it is clear that the first responders were subjected to dust so caustic as to cause respiratory disabilities and deaths. Yet, if a similar scenario occurred today, the same results would reoccur. This is because the EPA misapplied the International Corrosivity Standard and then systematically failed to test and communicate the caustic properties of the Twin Tower dust. Why? Because they had to have cleanup of that crime scene done as quickly as possible. That steel was rounded up and shipped to China at blinding speed without allowing any investigation whatsoever. How easy are these dots to connect? When will the American public wake up? So let's continue on again to why the American public doesn't know what's going on around them. And I'll get to headlines again in a moment because there's a lot happening. I want to quote back to the Record Searchlight. And for those that listen on the internet, keep in mind I focus on our Northern California media a lot because this is where this radio show airs throughout Northern California. And it matters because this is where the legal action for the ongoing contamination from climate engineering will be brought to a head. So it's important to expose this media for what they are. So here we have the Record Searchlight managing editor, which I've talked about in previous shows before, was on a radio show on Free Fire Radio with Carl Bott on Monday, and she said this about geoengineering. We don't cover the geoengineering issue. We don't. What kind of news outlet doesn't cover the frontline subject of climate circles around the globe, governments around the globe? They simply don't cover it, but they did cover it, didn't they? They did a hit piece trying to disprove it using non-science terms like chemtrails, which are not scientifically grounded in anything, and using the conspiracy theory mantra, which I just went over in great detail. They did cover all that, didn't they? But they won't cover facts. And that's a direct quote from Carol Ferguson at the Record Searchlight, the managing editor. We don't cover the geoengineering issue. We don't. And they also made it clear on the same show with Carl Bott that the Searchlight will only cover one side of the vaccination story. That is the official mantra, that vaccinations are all safe. Go back to sleep. Don't look at the facts. Anyone who says otherwise is just a conspiracy theorist. That's the kind of coverage we get from our media, the Record Searchlight and KRCR. Now, in regard to the vaccinations, because everything's coming to a head, as people, some who are willing to wake up, are beginning to wake up, and the power structure is becoming ever more panicked about that situation, they're trying to force more contamination of the population, which frankly, obviously, makes that population much easier to deal with, does it not? When we have fluoride in our water, think about that. Fluoride, an industrial waste that's used, or produced, by the way, by the processing of aluminum. That's what produces fluoride. It's put in our drinking water. What person in their right mind would want to drink fluoride? And we have a population that has allowed this. And if you look at the effects of fluoride on the neurological system, on the ability of a person to think objectively, it's very profound. The Nazis used it to help control their prison populations in World War II. Why would we want it in our water? But it's there. And now we have the vaccination push, which is also radically damaging society and its ability to cope. Because if you have 1 in 25 children with autism, how many parents can't do anything but deal with that child? And how many of the other children that may not have a diagnosis are now no longer at the potential they would have been had they not had toxic heavy metals that are part of the additives and vaccinations put into their veins. So here's a new headline. Think about this. Here's the headline. Is the U.S. becoming a police state to force mandatory vaccinations? From that report. Today, the American people are challenged, as they have never been before, to confront the expansion of government authority over our bodies and the bodies of our children. Specifically, the exercise of a police power to take us into custody and isolate us without our consent whenever public health officials believe we are sick or could become sick. At stake is the preservation of human rights and cultural values that have been part of America since the Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights defined civil liberties 2 centuries ago. Are public health officials getting ready to apprehend and quarantine you or your child if they believe you are or could become infected with measles or any other communicable disease that they decide is a threat to the public health? Are they enlisting airline and other public transportation personnel to help them conduct a dragnet that will be easy for you to get caught up in when you travel? Once you're detained, can they hold you for 72 hours against your will until you agree to be vaccinated or they declare you are no longer a threat? Is this for real? You be the judge. This is exactly what they're trying to do. Another headline to back this up: American Academy of Pediatrics wants a police state approach to vaccination. That's the headline. From that report, the American Academy of Pediatrics, AAP, hugely funded by the vaccine makers. Remember that. The pharmaceutical industrial complex is funding these organizations that are literally taking control and starting to eliminate our right to control what happens with our own body. Final sentence from the report. They call for a police state approach to vaccination. Think about this. If you're going about your life pretending that everything will all work out, it will just be fine, you're completely asleep at the wheel. Completely asleep at the wheel. Another headline to go with the vaccination issue. This is from MIT. And they have just released a report, one of their main researchers, stating that in every vaccination they tested, not only is there aluminum and thimerosal and mercury, there's also glyphosate, the Monsanto deadly chemical glyphosate, found traces of glyphosate in all vaccination samples they tested. Think about that. And we have now a consolidation happening with Big Ag, companies like Monsanto. Now we have the merger of Monsanto and Bayer. And here's a headline that relates to that. Here's the headline. Heroin, comma, Nazis, comma, and Agent Orange. Inside the $66 billion merger of the year. From that report, these companies used to sell heroin and Agent Orange. Now they want to form the world's largest supplier of seeds and pesticides, Monsanto and Bayer. We have a world that is run by corporate interests who are concerned about one thing and one thing only: their control and their power, period. And those who stand by and watch it happen and do nothing. So remember the quote from Edmund Burke: all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Good men and good women. We have a whole lot of that going on, don't we? Or we have the other side of the coin: those who rent conspiracy theorists while the walls are crumbling in from every direction, and they never bother to even look at the truth. They are afraid to look at the truth. And speaking of the walls closing in regard to the climate, how bad does it have to get? How incredibly anomalous do weather events have to be before people understand something's radically wrong? So we had on Monday of this week, on September 12th, in Yellowstone National Park, at the same time on the same day, we had a snowstorm happening in one area of the park, and we had wildfires closing roads on another end of the park. Does that seem normal to you? And does it seem normal that the same area that had the snowstorm is now pushing back into the 80s by the weekend? Does that seem normal? It's time for people to wake up and understand the climate engineers are completely out of control and have been for a very long time, as are every other branch of our government. And to put some records to how warm it is out there, because so many people, again, want to believe whatever disinformation is pumped out about the climate disintegration not being real. Another record in August. August 2016 tied July for the hottest month ever recorded on our planet since record keeping began. That's the 16th month in a row of that type of record, each month breaking the previous record. So this warming of the planet is having unimaginably horrific effects. And another headline here, this is from Truthout. Record high temperatures, toxic slime spreads across oceans as climate disruption continues. And that's the right term, climate disruption. And when we talk about the term climate engineering, that's far too dignified a term for the climate disruption that the climate engineers are causing. It's simply a tearing apart of Earth's climate system. Period. And the headlines keep coming. They keep coming. The U.S. West continues to bake under the all too often silvery, white, hazy skies. It's not just the horizon to horizon trails. It's the hazy white skies that most people don't even notice anymore, that you can't even see the distant mountains on many days because the sky is full of particulates. And that's what climate engineering does. That's the point. That's the purpose of solar radiation management, to fill the sky with particulates, to try to reflect some of the sun's incoming thermal energy, we're told, but all available data makes inarguably clear that climate engineering is worsening the warming, not helping it. And why would that be a surprise? And should we really think that those in power are there for some benevolent purpose when we know all that we know at this point? And that's another delusion of the population. The government would never do this to me. Really. For those who say that, why don't you look up the 24 or more historical precedents of the U.S. military experimenting with toxic elements on innocent U.S. civilians? And what about our military brothers and sisters? They're simply guinea pigs. They have been for a very long time. So for those who think that our government is there for some benevolent purpose, think again. And if you truly care about our brothers and sisters in the military that have signed up for honorable reasons, then you should investigate. You have a right to, an obligation to investigate, if you really care. Because sticking that bumper sticker on your car that says support the troops is really a coward's way out, isn't it? It takes a lot more courage to actually investigate and actually speak out and actually face the truth. It takes a lot more courage. Back to the weather. Hurricane suppression continues in the Atlantic Basin. Again, they allowed one hurricane to hit Florida so they could break the 11-year hurricane drought. 11 years of no major hurricane impacts on the U.S. while ocean temperatures are boiling. Does anybody think that that's normal? And at the same time, exactly the same time, over these last recent years, we have record hurricanes wiping out the western Pacific. And we have two more right now. In fact, the latest two storms, we have cyclones Milicos and Mirante that have just slaughtered Taiwan, hitting China. This is weather warfare. It's absolutely weather warfare going on. This is not to say that if climate engineering stopped, we wouldn't have major cyclones. That's not to say that. We would. We absolutely would. But the climate that's being suppressed in some parts of the globe further worsens the climate in other parts of the globe. You can't interfere with the system without derailing the whole system, and that's exactly what's going on. We have different power structures pushing against the system from countless different directions. When does the system completely blow apart? And I would argue that time is a lot nearer than we would like to believe. In fact, it's happening right now. The climate system is disintegrating right now. And those who don't believe it are simply not awake. Now, to headlines, I want to stress again, as I have so many times before, because it's so important people understand this. As the biosphere implodes, the global economy will follow. It can't not happen. It will happen. And the economy of perpetual expansion on a finite planet with finite resources was never sustainable. It was always a massive Ponzi scheme. Always. Headlines. First, Italy to cut growth forecasts, economy minister tells paper. Second headline, oil bankruptcies leave lenders with catastrophic, quote, catastrophic recovery rate. Much more to the oil story, especially concerning the big fracking boom, which was nothing more than another Ponzi scheme at the cost of permanently destroying groundwater all over the world. The truth about the fracking lie is now becoming impossible to hide. Third headline, growing global tension to drive drone sales, seen doubling by 2025. Yes, as I went back to previous shows again, why did they GPS every single one of our doorsteps in the 2010 census with no justifiable reason? Now the drone bases are being set up everywhere. How do a few control the many? Drones is one of the primary ways. If they can terrorize a population with drones, they're doing it in other countries. You don't think they're going to do it here or try? Think again. Another headline. Report, U.S. and Israel agree on a $38 billion military aid deal. $38 billion to Israel that already has some 200 nuclear weapons. Now, I'm simply asking people to look at facts. People who blindly support certain viewpoints without ever looking at the facts. It's time to face reality. Why do they need $38 billion in Israel? There's no threat from Gaza. Iran hasn't invaded anybody. And this is all part and parcel to fueling arms sales, period. Who runs the planet? The central bankers and the military-industrial complex. And their business is to sell weapons, period. You don't understand that. You need to do more research. Another headline, Nordic states look to expand defense spending. Backs up the point I just made. This is from the leader of the Philippines. Duterte says he wants U.S. special forces out of the southern Philippines. Some countries have had enough. They've had enough of the military-industrial complex. They've had enough of the push of empire and global hegemonic power. And the Philippines leader is one of those. Second headline on that note. Philippines, Duterte, I'm sure I'm slaughtering his name, eyes arms from China in joint patrols with the United States. Again, backing up that point, as I just stated. Another headline. Iran launches new naval ship to serve as deterrent against U.S. in Gulf waters. What happens when you have a country that is more powerful than the next 10 militaries combined? People in other countries feel they have to arm to defend themselves. And back to Iran, and I'm not condoning policies of Iran or some of their behavior, but I'm saying this. Let's look at reality. Who is patrolling off whose borders? Which country has not invaded any other country for 230 years? That's Iran. And which country has invaded 70 countries in that same time frame? That's the U.S. Let's look at facts. That's all I'm asking. Another headline. Pushing NATO to Russia's southern flank. Same point. Same point I'm trying to make. We have this military machine that's expanding and trying to achieve global hegemonic power, and that's causing the rest of the world and other countries to try to defend themselves. That's literally what it comes down to. And not condoning those countries either. If they had the same power, they would probably be behaving the same way. But the fact is, it's coming from us. It's coming from the NATO powers and the U.S. Another headline on that note, U.S. sends nuke-capable bombers to Korea in show of force. What would happen if Russia sent nuke-capable bombers to, say, Cuba? We already know what would happen, don't we? We know exactly what would happen. We saw that with Kennedy. And the U.S. would never allow that, but yet other countries are expected to allow it. Other countries are expected to allow U.S. bases in their countries, 156 countries with U.S. boots on the ground. But no one's here. When will the hypocrisy be seen for what it's for or what it is? Another headline. Venezuelan company says food production down 30%. Venezuela is suffering horrifically, and that's not going to go away. And those dominoes are going to continue to fall. And for Americans who think they're immune to what's happening around the world, you're going to be in for a rude awakening soon. Wait and see. The sooner we face reality, the better off we'll be. Another headline, tent cities full of homeless people are booming in cities all over America as poverty spikes. It's already happening. For those who are secure because their artificially pumped up pensions in the stock market seem safe and sound, don't hold your breath. It's not going to be that way much longer. Another headline. Assange, up to 100,000 pages of Clinton documents to come. Can't wait to see those. Julian Assange is unimaginably courageous and finally is starting to be seen as such. Finally. Even from Sean Hannity at Fox News, as I think I covered recently in a report. And on the elections again, the theater continues. Absolute theater from top to bottom. Those who are participating in the system are also participating in the problem. It's nothing more than orchestrated theater. Don't care what side of the fence you're on, and the facade is part of how we've gotten into this dark corner. Now, on the theater, on those who cover the theater, and this is a really important individual I want to, in a very negative way, by the way, that I want to try to expose as much as possible because he's the epitome of what's wrong with the human race. This is Wolf Blitzer from CNN, a former AIPAC lobbyist, Israeli lobbyist. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm saying that's where he's from. But let's look at what he just said. And this is truly astounding, and it cuts to the core of everything I've mentioned so far in this show. Here's the headline, The War Economy. CNN's Wolf Blitzer warns about job losses if U.S. stops arming Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, who is nothing more than a brutal dictatorship that is immune from any sort of repercussion from our country. Why? Because they have oil. How hard is that to figure out? From this report, CNN host Wolf Blitzer appeared to play up the economic benefit of Washington's $1.1 billion arms sales to Saudi Arabia, despite Yemeni civilian casualties cited by a U.S. senator seeking to block the deal. Blitzer worried that halting the trade would cost jobs. Think about that. I want to continue, and we'll elaborate. In a Thursday interview with Senator Rand Paul, Blitzer confronted the lawmaker, expressing skepticism over his opposition to the international arms deal. Paul is one of four U.S. senators seeking to stop Washington's $1.15 billion arms deal with Riyadh, arguing that this would result in, quote, disaster and an escalation of ongoing arms race in the region, what I just spoke about earlier in this show. However, the CNN host seemed to prioritize profits for America's defense sector over the lives of thousands of Yemenis. Since March 2015, Saudi Arabia's intervention has claimed at least 10,000 civilian lives. 10,000 civilians with arms that came from the U.S. to arm a brutal dictatorship in Saudi Arabia, and they've killed 10,000 civilians. And how many people in America know that? A quote from this report. This is from Wolf Blitzer, responding to Rand Paul for Rand's trying to block this arms sale. Wolf Blitzer said this, "So for you, this is a moral issue," end quote, Blitzer told Paul, adding, quote, "You know there's a lot of jobs at stake. Certainly, if a lot of these defense contractors stop selling warplanes and other sophisticated equipment to Saudi Arabia," the CNN host continued, "there's going to be a significant loss of jobs, of revenue here in the United States. That's secondary from your standpoint, question mark, to Rand Paul?" That's where Wolf Blitzer stands. That's where people like him stand. The system is full of those types of people. I'll elaborate that in a moment. It's important and imperative to understand that. These people don't have compassion. They only care that they want to continue to be a part of and feed and expand the cancer which they had committed themselves to. How callous can this possibly be, that Wolf Blitzer is concerned about job losses for the defense industry and not the slaughter of tens of thousands of innocent civilians? That's the kind of people that are running the country. That's the kind of people that are in our media. They have no conscience. They have no honor. They have no morality. The system is full of them, right down to our local media here in Northern California. Exactly the same. Our local media that is doing their best to cover up a massive heavy metal contamination that's raining down through our air column from the climate engineering programs, a local media, Record Searchlight, and KRCR, and others that are doing their best to cover up the fact that our children are being irreparably harmed because vaccinations have highly toxic additives put in them, like thimerosal, like aluminum, like mercury, and now we find out glyphosate as well, being injected into their veins, autism rate going through the roof. A 40,000% increase now with the most recent statistics, from 1 in 10,000 in 1975 to 1 in 25. That's a 40,000% increase. What does it take? What does it take to wake people up and show some compassion for their own children and to see the media as what they are? They're a tool of the power structure, period. To train you to repeat and recite the conspiracy theory mantra for anyone, toward anyone who questions the official narrative. And if you're one of those cowards, if you're one of the cowards that use the conspiracy theory term as your standard rebuttal to anyone who tries to present some data to you that you should investigate, then you're one of the cowards. Look yourself in the mirror. Now, according to back to the report with Rand Paul and Wolf Blitzer. According to a recent report, since 2009, the U.S. has offered Saudi Arabia $115 billion worth of arms in 42 separate deals. Those arms sales include combat aircraft, attack helicopters, bombs, air-to-ground missiles, warships, and military training. And let's remember, who got the only plane ride back when no one else was allowed to fly after 9/11? 93 Saudis got a free plane ride home. No interrogations, no questioning, no nothing. Who's in bed with who? This is not hard to figure out. Not at all. If the American population is willing to face the truth. Now, back to people like Wolf Blitzer, back to people that run the military-industrial complex, and people that in fact are very prevalent in society as a whole. Here's a headline. 1 in 5 bosses is a psychopath, new research reveals. From this report, you are just as likely to come up against a psychopathic boss in your office as you are in a prison population. New research has found psychopaths are as prevalent in the upper echelons of the corporate world as they are in prisons. Continuing from the report, the research shows that 1 in 5 prisoners is considered psychopathic. The prevalence of people with the same tendencies in the executive ranks of the corporate business sector is exactly the same, 21% or more. But here's what we must ask ourselves. If more than 1 in 5 is diagnosably psychopathic, do we think that there's no middle ground there where we have a whole bunch of people that maybe aren't completely full-blown psychopaths, but are somewhere in between? Of course. It's not black or white. You're not either a psychopath or you're not. There's an immense amount of middle ground. Because if a person is willing to passively be a part of genocide, ecocide, or omnicide, then something's wrong with that person. And we have an unthinkable amount of people in our society that are behaving in this manner. They say it's not my problem. Unless their little world is being affected at the particular moment, they want to turn 2 blind eyes to whatever's going on. And that's wrong. That's simply wrong. And that's how we got in this dark corner. So consider scientific study proving, quote, conspiracy theorists are more sane than those who blindly parrot the official narrative, and consider that recent studies show that more than 1 in 5 in the corporate world are psychopathic, and a whole bunch that are close to that. Now, to carry this into those who run the planet and those who advise them, and I've gone in past shows again over Zbigniew Brzezinski, the presidential advisor to all U.S. presidents since Johnson. What a history he has. And certainly, how psychopathic is he? And I want to read some quotes from him so that we understand what kind of individual we're dealing with Brzezinski. And it's important we understand his mindset, because he's truly the core of those who orchestrate society, that have orchestrated the atrocities, those who run the system from top to bottom. I'm going to go through several Brzezinski quotes now. Here's one. Quote, "We have a large public that is very ignorant about public affairs and very susceptible to simplistic slogans." Went over that earlier in the show, didn't I? Conspiracy theorists. "Very susceptible to simplistic slogans by candidates who appear out of nowhere, have no track record, but repeat appealing slogans." Another quote from Brzezinski. Quote, "Most Americans are close to total ignorance about the world. They are ignorant. This is an unhealthy condition in a country in which foreign policy has to be endorsed by the people if it is to be pursued. Foreign policy of expansion, militarization," this is my verbiage, by the way, "expansion, militarization, global hegemony, hegemonic power, this is exactly what 9/11 gave a license to for the military-industrial complex, to galvanize the American population and make them to submit to almost anything. It's exactly what these people have planned." Continuing from Brzezinski's quote, "And it makes it much more difficult for any president to pursue an intelligent policy that does justice to the complexity of the world. Orchestrating the population," this is what he's speaking about here, "and they need events like the new Pearl Harbor," which is what 9/11 was, "in order to galvanize the population and make them submit and support whatever the military-industrial complex wants to do." Another quote from Brzezinski. "In the technotronic society, the trend would seem to be towards aggregation of the individual support of millions of uncoordinated citizens easily within the reach of magnetic and attractive personalities, exploiting the latest communications techniques to manipulate emotions and control reason." End of quote. Again, this is coming from the core advisor to all presidents since Johnson. Another quote from Brzezinski. "American exceptionalism is a reaction to the inability of people to understand global complexity or important issues, like American energy dependency. Therefore," again, remember the American energy dependency part. Remember Saudi Arabia. Remember the above-the-law treatment that they get. All of this goes together. Therefore, they searched for simplistic sources of comfort and clarity in the people that are now selecting to be so, to speak to the spokesmen of their anxieties, are in most cases stunningly ignorant. Stunningly ignorant. How many people running for office do we know that are stunningly ignorant? They all are, with few exceptions. And those that aren't are more dangerous than the ones who are. But it's all theater. That's what's important to remember. All theater. Orchestration, as Brzezinski speaks about here. And all those tools that are used for that orchestration, just like our local media here in Northern California. But what's different about this time, this moment in time, than any other time, is there'll be no hiding from what's happening for much longer. We are at a completely new crossroad. We are in uncharted territory because the walls are truly closing in and collapsing. As the biosphere implodes, the grand facade can no longer be kept afloat, and that makes the power structure more dangerous than ever. Continuing with another Brzezinski quote, another threat, less overt but no less basic, confronts the liberal democracy, more directly linked to the impact of technology. It involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled and directed society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite whose claim to the political power would rest on allegedly superior scientific know-how. Again, a science community that is also completely controlled by those in power, by those who print the money. Continuing with the Brzezinski quote, unhindered by the restraints of traditional liberal values, in other words, unhindered by any form of morality, this elite would not hesitate to achieve its political ends by using the latest modern techniques for influencing public behavior and keeping society under close surveillance and under control. Under such circumstances, the scientific and technological momentum of the country would not be reversed, but would actually feed on the situation it exploits. It's exactly the scenario we have happening now. Exactly. Two more quotes from Brzezinski. Persisting social crises, the emergence of charismatic personality, and the exploitation of mass media to obtain public confidence would be the stepping stone in the piecemeal transformation of the United States into a highly controlled society. Total quote from Brzezinski, presidential advisor. Final quote. This regionalization is in keeping with the trilateral plan, which calls for a gradual convergence of East and West, ultimately leading toward the goal of one world government. The national sovereignty is no longer a viable concept. These are the people who run the planet, period. And a final quote from Brzezinski. It is much easier to kill a million people than to try to control them. Look it up. Look it up. These are the people who run our country. And back to the resources that fuel the machine. And why? Resources are what's necessary, and this is what the empire has been chasing. This is what the military-industrial complex has chased. So when we have people who are repeating the official narrative, the mantra of this country's a threat, tomorrow it's that country, the next day it's another country, this is all part of the master plan. I went over with Brzezinski in previous shows the grand chessboard, the program of toppling Eurasia to capture their resources. How many countries has the U.S. invaded and or occupied since from 1949 to present? Let's go through a quick list. And again, to clarify on this list, this is countries the U.S. has invaded, occupied, or attempted to overthrow. Keep those three categories in mind. China, 1949 to the early 1960s. Albania, 1949 to 1953. East Germany, the 1950s. Iran, 1953. Guatemala, 1954. Costa Rica, the mid-1950s. Syria, 1956 to 57. Egypt, 1957. Indonesia, 57 to 58. British Guyana, 1953 to 1964. Iraq, 1963. North Vietnam, 1945 to 1973. Cambodia, 1955 to 1970. Laos, 1958, 59, 60, so on. Ecuador, 1960 to 63. Congo, 1960. France, 1965. Brazil, 1962 to 64. Dominican Republic, 1963. Cuba, 1959 to present. Bolivia, 1964. Indonesia, 1965, Ghana, 1966, Chile, 64 to 73, Costa Rica, 70 to 71, Bolivia, 71, Australia, 73 to 75. And again, consider, these are governments that the U.S. has tried to orchestrate. We're not saying we occupied Australia and France. We're just saying that the U.S. tried to radically intervene in those governments in ways that would have never been tolerated here. Angola, 1975 to 1980s. Zaire, 1975. Portugal, 74 to 76. Jamaica, 76 to 1980. Chad, 1981 to 82. Grenada, 1983. South Yemen, 82 to 84. Fiji, 1987. Libya, 1980s. Nicaragua, 81 to 90. Panama, 1989. Bulgaria, 1990. Albania, 1991. Afghanistan, 1980s. Somalia, 1993. Yugoslavia, 99 to 2000. Ecuador, 2000. Afghanistan, 2001. Venezuela, 2002. Iraq, 2003. These more recent countries most people know about, finally. Haiti, 2004. Somalia, 2007 to present. Honduras, 2009. Libya, 2011. Syria, 2012. Ukraine, 2014. That was a long list, wasn't it? How many people stopped to consider that? Who's the aggressor? And what's it all about? It's about resources to keep the juggernaut of military-industrial insanity going. And that's why some countries are tolerated, brutal dictatorships like Saudi Arabia that beheads and hangs political dissenters from cranes. I've been over that in previous shows. And yet they're sold with 42 separate contracts, $115 billion worth of weapons they're using to slaughter innocent civilians right now. And Wolf Blitzer from CNN, who's really a stellar example of those who run the system, is only concerned about the job losses. And ultimately, Wolf Blitzer isn't concerned about the job losses. He's only concerned about anything that could negatively affect the military-industrial complex and central bankers whom he serves. That's what he's concerned about, ultimately. And I want to highlight again, as the convergence of conflict around the globe, what's it all about? It's about resources. Here's a headline that fits in with this. The death of the Bakken field has begun. This means big trouble for the U.S. This is the shale field. This is where all the shale oil has come from that Americans were convinced would give us energy independence for who knows how long. A lie. From this report, the death of the Great Bakken field has begun, and very few Americans understand the significance. Just a few years ago, the U.S. energy industry and mainstream media were gloating that the United States was on its way to, quote, energy independence. Unfortunately, for most Americans, they believe the hype and are now back to driving big SUVs and trucks that get lousy fuel mileage. And why not? Americans now think the price of gasoline will continue to decline because the U.S. oil industry is able to produce its supposed massive shale oil reserves for a fraction of the cost due to the new wonders of technological improvement. A lie. Here's reality. The Great Bakken oil field is now down a stunning 25% from its peak just a little more than a year ago. And none of this takes into account the groundwater all over the world and certainly all over our country has been permanently poisoned by these programs, by fracking, by the dumping of toxic waste being pumped into wells. It's utter insanity. Insanity that's been carried out by the same type of individuals I've described throughout the show, by the same types of individuals that run organizations like the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, and other agencies that are trying desperately to force the human population of our country to accept mandatory vaccinations that contain known and horribly toxic elements like thimerosal, aluminum, and mercury. The same power structure that is carrying out the atrocities in our skies, raining down toxic heavy metals, proven by lab tests from around the globe. Mountains of documentation to back up what's happening in our skies. And even if you try to hide out somewhere and avoid a vaccination, how can you avoid breathing? And these toxic heavy metals, starting with aluminum again, are raining down in unimaginable quantities, disrupting our weather, toxifying our soils and waters. How long can this possibly continue? This is about a cancer, the military-industrial banking complex, that has long since taken control of the planet in so many insidious ways. It's about a population that's horribly in denial, a population that is needed to wake up soon, or we'll have nothing left to salvage. Where do you stand in this equation? Are you one of the cowards that simply throws out the conspiracy theory mantra as your response to anyone who tries to present a harsh truth to you? Or are you one that's willing to face reality and share the truth and investigate it? Decide where you stand in this equation. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.